Well, this is Dr. Grande. Today I will analyze the case of Micah Smith. First, I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the alleged crime, then offer my analysis. Micah Zephon Smith was born in December 1993 and lived in South Jordan, Utah. By 2025, he was married to a woman named Samantha and had three children. In court documents, the children are identified using only initials: an 8-year-old daughter named EAS, a 4-year-old son named EZS, and a 2-year-old son named ES. Now moving to the timeline of the alleged crime. On October 11, 2025, Micah Smith and his three children went on a 9-mile hike in Big Cottonwood Canyon. They were on Broad's Fork Trail. This trail is rated hard due to a steep climb and rocky terrain. The weather in the mountainous terrain changes quickly, and the hike is physically challenging even for experienced adults. The trail is not appropriate for children. Micah later admitted he was not very familiar with the trail and that he failed to check the weather before beginning his magical journey. At 5:17 p.m., Micah sent a photograph to his wife. The image contained dark clouds and rain in the distance. Samantha asked Micah if the kids were safe. At 5:18 p.m., Micah said that his 4-year-old son, EZS, was exhausted. He indicated that they were almost at the top of the mountain, but everyone was starting to fail, and it was starting to rain. He was tired of carrying his 2-year-old son, ES. Micah said, "It's tough with three children and no second parent." At 5:26 p.m., Samantha texted, "You better leave. It's going to get dark." Micah responded at 6:02 p.m. saying, "I know. It's stressing me out or deep in the clouds." 1 minute later, Samantha wrote, "Child endangerment, not cool." At 6:11 p.m., Micah sent a photograph to his wife which appeared to show EZS being cold. His wife responded, "Get them home." Later, at 6:41 p.m., she wrote, "Well?" At some point after this, Samantha filed a missing person report. A search and rescue mission was launched on the mountain. On October 12, the day after Micah and his children started the hike, team members found Micah on the trail. They noticed that he was behaving oddly and was seemingly unconcerned with his children. Micah told them that one of his children was dead. Later, rescuers located Micah's three children 600 feet from the summit. 8-year-old EAS was next to a boulder with a few sticks stacked against it. 2-year-old ES was underneath his 4-year-old brother EZS. Rescuers realized that both the boys were in bad shape. For example, EZS did not have a pulse. All three children were extracted from the mountain and transported to a hospital. EZS had a stroke, and a portion of his skull had to be removed as part of his treatment. His core body temperature was 62.6 degrees Fahrenheit. He and his 2-year-old brother ES were in critical condition. Their 8-year-old sister EAS was in stable condition. Micah was also injured. He was listed in fair condition. The police interviewed Micah. Here's what he told them. He and his children started the hike on October 11. They left home at about 9 a.m. and stopped at a store to purchase shoes and socks. At 10 a.m., they arrived at the trailhead. They made good time on the trail. When they approached the summit at around 6 p.m., the weather conditions turned ugly. The temperature dropped by 20 degrees. They were facing snow, rain, hail, and fog. They tried to hike down the mountain and made it about 600 feet, but then Micah's 2-year-old son, ES, fell and hit his head. ES appeared to be dazed and at one point stopped breathing. The family took shelter at 8 p.m. Micah performed CPR on both his sons and taught his daughter, EAS, how to perform CPR. The idea here was that when he left in the morning to look for help, she would continue with the CPR. During the morning of October 12, Micah left his children and went down the mountain. This is when he encountered rescuers. The police also interviewed Micah's 8-year-old daughter, EAS. Here's what she told them. Her father, Micah, told her that they would be taking a 9-mile or a 9-hour hike, but she did not remember which one he said. As they approached the summit, clouds rolled in. EAS recommended to her father that they leave. Micah shook his head no and said, "This is a once-in-a-lifetime thing." EAS repeated her recommendation and indicated she was scared. Micah said, "You shall not pass." A storm came in quickly, which caused EAS to worry about her survival. Micah told her that they were okay. On November 10, 2025, about a month after the incident, Micah Smith found himself in trouble again, this time at the hospital where his son EZS was being treated. He allegedly tampered with the equipment that was being used to care for his son and was trespassed from the hospital. 15 days later, on November 25, 2025, Micah was charged with 6 felonies, 3 counts involving mistreatment and 3 counts involving torture. At the time I'm making this video, Micah's 4-year-old son, EZS, is still in the hospital. Now moving to my analysis. Presumably, Micah Smith maintains his innocence. His wife has defended him, saying that he suffered from hypothermia, was dehydrated, and became lost. A GoFundMe that was launched by a person identifying himself as Micah's brother, Zach, indicated that Micah sacrificed himself to protect his children. Zach also said, "Micah is a good dad who loves his kids and loves taking them on adventures. Unfortunately, tragedy struck this time around." The state of Utah, of course, disagrees. They argue that Micah intentionally or knowingly placed his children at risk by ignoring their distress, weather warnings, and the difficulty of the terrain. This brings me to the question, is Micah guilty of the 6 felonies he has been charged with? Let's take a look at the evidence both for and against the idea that he is guilty, starting with the inculpatory factors. 1 month before the fateful mountain climb, Micah had an encounter with the police, during which he indicated that he was going through a really hard time and he wanted to hike up to the top of the mountain. Officers found 2 firearms and 1 axe in his vehicle, but Micah denied that he was going to use them. On October 11, 2025, Micah took his children hiking on a hard trail known for having thorny bushes and unstable rocks and boulders. The trail was not suitable for children. He never checked the weather conditions, and he admitted that he was not very familiar with the trail. To provide an idea of how difficult these conditions were, even the search and rescue team members took 5 hours to reach the children. They traveled over 6.5 miles, gained over 3,100 feet in elevation, and sustained several injuries themselves. Micah had plenty of warning from his children indicating they were not doing well with the hike. For example, in a text message to his wife, Micah said that his children were starting to fail, and EZS was exhausted. EAS recommended to her father that they leave. Micah was told by his wife to bring the children down the mountain, and the children were shivering from the cold. In one video Micah recorded on his phone, his 8-year-old daughter EAS asked him, "Are we going to freeze to death, Daddy?" Micah responded by saying they were almost to the top. In another video, Micah told the children that the path they would take was not the normal one, and they are taking the path less traveled. He then explained that the path would be hard and is not easy. On the next day, when the rescuers found Micah, he did not seem to be concerned with the safety of his children. About a month later, in a hospital, he allegedly tried to interfere with the care of his 4-year-old son. Moving to the exculpatory factors, it appears as though Micah's wife and brother believe that he is innocent. The extreme cold that Micah was exposed to could have affected his thinking and may explain why he seemed unconcerned. One could make a good argument that Micah was reckless but did not act with intent. 3 of the felonies he was charged with, the torture charges, require an intentional act. When considering all the evidence in this case, do I believe that Micah Smith is guilty? Yes, I believe he is guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. He made several decisions that demonstrated an intent to cause his victims to suffer, even before he would have been compromised by hypothermia. What do I think happened in this case? This is just a theory, my opinion. Micah's defense may be based on the idea that the disaster was an accident and environmental stressors may have affected his mental health, like he became confused in the cold. He would like people to believe that he was comfortable hiking in the dark, and he chose not to come down the mountain earlier because he and his children were close to the summit. So this was simply a case of a well-meaning but incompetent hiker who was overenthusiastic about giving his children a once-in-a-lifetime moment. To be fair, he did achieve that objective, not exactly the way he wanted, but he still created something unforgettable. Micah's defense represents an interesting theory, but there is another possibility. Perhaps he was trying to play the hero, the victim, or both. For instance, in one of his text messages to his wife, he mentioned how it was hard with only one parent, like he was deploying a guilt trip. What if Micah never planned on anybody escaping the mountain alive? Under this theory, Micah went up the mountain with his children believing that none of them would survive, but he did not want his homicidal intent to be obvious. The plan was to arrange this scenario where it was plausible that everyone died by accident. People would look at Micah and say that he was reckless and irresponsible, but they would not believe he killed everyone on purpose. This way, Micah would be remembered fondly, a man who was just trying to take his children on an adventure. This theory is supported by some of the evidence. For instance, about a month before the incident, Micah encountered the police and told them he was going through a hard time. He denied on planning to use weapons found in his vehicle. If Micah was feeling depressed, maybe this feeling extended into October and motivated him to hike up the mountain. This time, however, he raised the stakes by taking his three children with him. Under this theory, Micah's motive was really about making his death more significant and noticeable. If he died on the mountain alone, there would be some concern, but if his children died as well, the case would draw a lot of attention. Now everyone would know the name Micah Smith. There would be a lot of interest in what happened. Micah would be remembered as a hero who tried to save his children and as a victim who died along with everyone else. This tragedy could have all been an attempt to disguise Micah's death, to wrap it in a more desirable package, one that did not make Micah look like a terrible person. The plan went sideways when Micah started getting really cold. Freezing to death wasn't as fun as he thought it would be, so he tried to save himself. Everybody ended up surviving, although barely. There's also a slightly different version of the hero-victim theory, which is worth considering. Perhaps Micah did not intend for anyone to die, but simply wanted them to suffer. He would create this perilous situation, then rescue his children from it. Things didn't go as planned, and the outcome was tragic. Regardless of Micah's exact motivation, he intentionally set up a dangerous journey and should not have contact with his children. His method of causing harm was premeditated and novel. He should never be given an opportunity to develop another insidious plan. Some paths are too dangerous to be walked again, and Micah has already shown the devastation that follows when he is allowed to choose the trail. Those are my thoughts on the case of Micah Smith. Thank you so much for watching. I'll talk to you soon.